This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions, his household, every one of us. May Allah bless us all, grant us goodness in this world and the next. Ameen. My brothers and sisters, I just proved to you that if the speaker is energetic, everyone automatically becomes energetic. When I said salam the first time, the response was okay. But when I said it again the second time, the response was much better. Do you agree?
Yes.
It was much better. Do you agree?
Yes.
Again. You see, I proved it again. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every one of us. Yes, indeed, we have been blessed. And the blessings are plenty, mashallah. The Almighty has given us beyond measure. If you were to try and count the favors of Allah upon you, my brothers, my sisters, you would not be able to count them all. The favors of the Almighty, no matter what challenges you've been through in your lives, He has favored you, He has blessed you, He has given you some unique blessings. You need to search if there is anyone amongst us who thinks that he or she has been let down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to look into yourself again and think again. He may have not given you what you want, but He has definitely favored you, my brothers, my sisters, in a unique way. Everyone has a gift. And that gift is unique to you, tailor-made to prepare you for certain things, and ultimately to prepare you for paradise. And this is why, when you go through challenges in this life, you may never realize why you're going through them. But when you see the paradise in the hereafter, you will then come to know, no wonder I was tested one after the other. My brothers and sisters, if I were to ask you, what is the greatest gift you have? What would you say? Please tell me. I want to hear the answers. Say it again. One says Iman. Say something else. Islam. Say something else. Love. Did someone say love? MashaAllah. Love of Allah. I hope it's not haram, right? Okay. What else? No, love is so blinding that some people actually convince themselves that it's actually permissible because she wakes me up for Salatul Fajr, you know. Yeah, I haven't missed a Fajr since I've known her. But how many times did you commit adultery? Astaghfirullah. May Allah forgive us. May Allah strengthen us. That's reality. Shaitan comes in to make you use these cheap excuses to keep you going on haram based on the fact that he's spicing it with something that may be technically halal. Just calm down. Relax. Yes, something else this side. Say it again. Health, life. Wallahi, we could go on all night. The greatest favor we have is the fact that we are part of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do you ever know that? So it includes the Iman, it includes the Deen, it includes the Islam, it includes the worship of Allah alone. For indeed, that worship of your Maker alone is something amazing. You can never ever understand its value unless you've actually studied it carefully and you believe in it firmly. Then you know its value. I've seen people who revert to Islam. They come to Islam. Most of them become stronger than those who were born in the deen. One of the reasons is, when you're born in the deen, you don't appreciate the favors of Allah. You haven't seen the darkness to that degree. And so you start questioning and thinking, why am I not enjoying? Why can I not do what these people are doing? And so on and so forth. And so it makes you weak. But when a person has come, having seen everything there was to see in terms of darkness, he or she appreciates the light. Subhanallah. When you're in a room that's very, very light, you don't appreciate that light. But when the light has been turned on, it becomes so dazzling that you need to blink your eyes for a while, shine them a little bit in order to see what's around you, right? It happens. May Allah grant us blessings. These are the favors of Allah. And if the biggest favor is the fact that you're part of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was he? Question, right? Who was he? Please tell me. Rasul of Allah, correct. The messenger of Allah. Rahmatan lil alameen, sent as a mercy to everything and everyone. What else? The best of creation, the most noble of all prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The messenger. Rasul means a messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know what? If he was a messenger, what is a messenger? If I were to tell you this is a messenger of so and so, what did they bring? What did they come with? What did they come with? A message. A messenger can only have come with a message. That message is such that the value is unmatched. If the best of creation was called a messenger, then you need to know that the message he brought is the biggest, the greatest, the most powerful, the most important message there is in existence. Here tonight, we're predominantly Muslim. Perhaps we have some of our brothers and sisters who may not be Muslim yet. I tell you what, my brothers and sisters, for me as a Muslim, the question I always ask myself is, how connected am I to the most powerful word in existence? That's what I want you to ask yourselves too, on a daily basis. How connected are you to the word of Allah? Today, if I were to ask you, how many of you have read the meanings of the entire Quran from cover to cover, at least once in your lives, in a language that you understand it and you've understood it? How many? Please put up your hands as high as you can. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 18 out of 1,500. You feel that? Sorry, I didn't count the sisters sitting up there. Let's consider all of them having read it. So that's about 200 there, maybe another 200 there. Okay? MashaAllah. Still, we can do better. You follow what I'm saying? You know the biggest favor is the fact that we are the ummah of the Quran and you've never tried to understand the Quran. Someone might tell you, you know what, I can recite the Quran. I know you can. It's very important. It's very important to correct your recitation as well. You get a reward for every letter. We are not denying that and we will never. But you will never achieve the contentment you are searching for unless you've understood what your Maker is telling you. Why you are here, where you are going, and what you are supposed to be doing while you are here. Where you came from as well. How can we say, no, I didn't have the time? If I were to ask you how many of you have passed through the universities, most of us would put our hands up. How many books did you study there? You would say, I don't know the figure. I just read so many books. Many of us are into other books, audibles, whatever else. Today you can get the Quran in an audible. While you're driving, while you're doing something, you can listen to the translation, the meaning, the explanation of the Quran. You can hear lessons from those who are reliable, those whom you trust, of the same Quran. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Allah says, will they not make an effort to look deeply into the verses of the Quran? Will they not do that? Or are there seals on their hearts? We don't want to be from among those whose hearts are sealed. Make an effort to learn the word. Make an effort to be able to read it. Yes, pronounce it. Yes. Recite it. Yes. Even if it is bit by bit. Even if it is verse by verse. But remember something, it is also your duty to try and understand it. I would never forgive myself for having died without having gone through the most important message there ever is in existence, and that is the Quran. I know of non-Muslims who've read it cover to cover. Their lives have changed. Many of them have turned to the deen, like I said, in a way far stronger than us who were born Muslim. And here we are, we think it's more important to read about physics and geography and whatever else and biology. Yes, that may be very important, but it cannot be compared to the word of Allah. Come on, subhanallah. I promise you, if you knew there was an examination for your subject at school or college, university, you would study like crazy. Make sure you know the entire book. Make a little study group and you would learn. We have done it. We've never done it for the Quran. No wonder we don't have contentment. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe, they achieve contentment and comfort of the soul, of the heart, through the remembrance of Allah, primarily the Quran. It is only through the remembrance of Allah that the hearts will achieve that contentment. No wonder why we're not content. No wonder why. I promise you, if you were to look within yourselves right now, things that make you temporarily happy, we have a lot of that. If you, for some reason, have the latest of anything, subhanallah, the latest of anything, temporarily, you're excited. You're happy. Why? Because it is the latest. The word latest is such that within a short period of time, it's no longer the latest. You agree? No matter what you have, whether it is a watch or a phone or a car or a house or technology or a perfume or a piece of clothing, or no matter what, a style, a trend, if you have the latest, trust me, it expires very, very shortly. Within a short space of time. But when it comes to Allah, when it comes to the deen of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have not made an effort enough. And that's why we don't realize these temporary items will give you a moment of happiness. After which you realize, you know what? But I don't have that internal joy. I don't have that internal comfort. Allah says, one of the miracles of the Quran, it has the ability to cure you. It has the ability to soothe you.
يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةٌ.
Allah describes the Quran. Four descriptions, this verse. Allah says, O people, a reminder has come to you from your Lord. He's speaking about the Quran. This is a miracle. Allah says, it is a reminder. It has in it good news. It has in it warnings. It has in it prophecies. It has in it whatever has happened in the past, whatever Allah wanted you to know. It has in it rules and regulations. Allah says, maw'idha. Those rules and regulations, if you were to follow them, you would definitely achieve contentment. But Allah says, you know what? The Quran, from every aspect of it, it has in it solutions to your problems. From all aspects. The recital will solve a lot of problems. The effort you will put to learn will solve a lot of problems. The learning of it will put a lot of problems at rest, solving. The meaning of it will solve even more problems. Teaching it will solve even more problems. Showing importance to it will solve many problems. Encouraging others will solve even more problems. Subhanallah. But try it out. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. Wow. When I was young, my mother told me something. And I won't forget. I was becoming a hafid. Young people come, they say, oh, or their parents say, my son is becoming a hafid, my daughter's becoming a hafid. Please give them some good words of advice. You know what I tell them? Don't give up. Keep going. Recite that Quran. Learn it. Every aspect of it. Allah elevates your status. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَلْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامًا وَيَضَعُ بِهِ آخَرِينَ. Allah raises through the Quran certain people and drops others. So who does He raise? Those who give importance to it. Those who respect it. You have a pile of books. The Quran should go at the top. Remember that. You have a pile of books, right? There's nothing that can go on top of the Quran. You should put it at the top. No matter what people say, put it at the top. It is your love for the word of Allah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He has given us His word in. Imagine, you put it at the top. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us an understanding. You gave it importance in every way. You made an effort. You learned. You put into practice. Allah raises your status. But when you know what the Quran says and you didn't practice, bad news. When, for example, you don't want to know what it says, even worse news. When you're not interested, even worse news. When you blaspheme, oh, you're asking for trouble. You know, we see people doing things with the Quran. They want to burn it. They want to do this. They want to do that. You know what? It's Allah's word. He will take care of it. If He wants, He can guide the same people to the deen of Allah. I know people who have done things like that and some even worse than that. And later on, Allah guided them to the deen. And they came into Islam crying and weeping, regretting their actions. That was Allah's way of bringing them through. Subhanallah. But when we react like hooligans, what happens? We forget that the Lord of that book is Allah. It is His word. I give you an example of the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdul Muttalib. You know when Abraha, who was the king in Yemen at the time, he had created or founded a little worshipping house there. And he wanted people to come from all over to that house. And people told him, well, no one's going to come here because there's another house in Mecca. He thought like the typical businessman in Leicester. Astaghfirullah, let me not say that. Okay, but typical. You have a restaurant, a brother opens a restaurant in front and you're thinking all day, how can I do them down? Right? Be happy. Have you been to the Middle East, subhanallah, where they have one phone shop and 20 others right next door and they're all excited, right? Because they call it the mobile phone mall, Gargash. Have you heard it? Right? You've heard it? May Allah grant us ease. I see some of you are smiling because you know, right? I see you're into technology. So, they would get excited and happy. We get upset. But sustenance is in the hands of Allah. Work hard. Drop your prices. Learn to compete a little bit. But be very polite. Very, very impressive in your behavior, in your character. And Allah will bless you. So, this man was so jealous. He could not stomach the fact that kilometers away, very far away, there is another house that everyone's going to, we're going to destroy it. We're going to fix them. We're going to show them. Typical, isn't it? Typical, isn't it? You're too shy to say, yeah. Guilty. May Allah grant us ease. No, obviously that's on a lighter note. On a more serious note, this man arrives with his elephant. It's called Al-Fil. When I was young, I thought there were many, many elephants. Until I learned later on, it was one big elephant. It's called Al-Fil, right? Al-Fil. The elephant. One big elephant. So Abraha comes with the army and this elephant was something they've never ever seen before. So as they're going, he started, you know, a tyrant taking people's things away. So he decides, I'm going to take this away, that away. In the interim, he took away the camels of the grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he was showing his power because he was one of the leaders of Mecca. His camels were gone. You know what? When he got an opportunity to go back to collect those camels, listen to something that he said. And this is powerful. The reason I say this is, you know, someone tries to attack or blaspheme that which belongs to Allah. Yes, we will try our best to defend it in a humane way. But we don't become hooligans and claim we're defending. Because now that's hooliganism. May Allah grant us ease. I'm not saying don't defend. We defend the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We defend whatever we can and however we, you know, we are taught to, but not in a way that makes us look so bad and cheap. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So he comes to Abraha and he says, I need my camels. So Abraha is mocking at them, saying, I'm about to destroy this house. I'm about to destroy the whole Kaaba. You're not worried about that. You're worried about your camels. When I destroy the Kaaba, your economy is gone because no one's going to come here anymore. But you know what? You're worried about your camels. Camels is minor. Do you know what this man says? As for the camels, they are mine. These camels, they belong to me. So I'm coming to you asking for them. Asking for them. وَلِلْ بَيْتِ رَبٌّ يَحْمِيهِ. As for that house, it has its owner who will take care of it. I'm the owner of the camels. Ana Rabbul Ibil. I'm the owner of the camels. I came to you to say, please give me back my camels. You want to fight with that house? I'm out of the scene here because you know what? That house has a lord, has an owner who's going to look after it. He's going to make sure he will deal with this thing here. Allahu Akbar. Think about that. You know what? The man was destroyed to smithereens and his elephant was gone. Allah says, to prove the miracle, we will use the smallest creatures with the smallest pebbles from a height to destroy the biggest animal that has come to this place. So Allah calls it Tayran, Ababil, this certain type of a swallow. With a small pebble from a height dropped, pieces were made. Pieces were made of the men and whatever else was there, destroyed. Look what Abu Talib did, meaning Abdul Muttalib. What did he say and what happened? I promise you, when someone tries to, you know, mess with the word of Allah, it will hurt us. We should try our best to say something, to do something in a positive way, to be able to protect and guide and to be able to, you know, remind people of what's right and wrong. Ultimately, it's Allah. If Allah wants, He will guide that person, or if Allah wants, He will destroy them. When Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu walked out, he was planning something far worse. Far worse. What was it? He wanted to go out to kill the Prophet, peace be upon him. In a few moments, guess what happened? He became a Muslim. Few moments, he became a Muslim. That was Allah. The miracle of the word, the Quran. That's the miracle. You know, when I saw the topic, miracles of the Quran, I was thinking to myself, when you're talking to the general public, you cannot get into heavy details. We would need a whole, you know, PowerPoint presentation about miracles of the Quran. But we all should be understanding basic miracles. Basic miracles, I tell you. Najashi read a few verses of the Quran. In fact, they were read to him by Ja'far bin Abi Talib and the group of Sahaba who had come to Abyssinia in the first Hijrah. He started crying, his tears rolled down his cheeks when he realized this is actually the truth. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the mountain who was going out to kill the Prophet, peace be upon him, he read a few verses of Surah Taha at the house of his sister. It changed his entire life. His heart softened and it became such that he turned to Allah forever and ever, such that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if Umar was walking on a certain path, Shaytan would never tread the same path. Subhanallah. That's how powerful he became. I want to ask you a question to show you that, you know what? We are guilty, my brothers and sisters. There were people who were non-Muslim who read one or two verses, five verses. Their lives changed. We read the whole Quran. We call it a khatam, don't we? One khatam, two khatam. Mostly it's ceremonial. You know what ceremonial means? I just did it because I had to complete it and it was done. I did five khatams. I did 10 khatams. My brother, did your life change? If you never did that khatam, but your life changed with five verses of the Quran, talk to me, subhanallah. You have something to tell. You have a story. You have an inspiration. But if you read khatam after khatam, but you're still lying, cheating, deceiving, adultery, pornography, immorality, whatever else, trust me, you achieved zero. Nothing. Backbiting, hurting people, abusing. The F's and the B's are blurted out like you can't believe. I was speaking a few days ago and I was saying, you know what? Sometimes people use so many swear words that they don't realize they're using swear words. It's part of greeting, the greeting. When they want to say, how are you? They've already said the F word four times in that sentence. How it fitted in, ask some of the young ones. May Allah forgive us. It's a reality. And we claim to be Muslimin. I la ilaha illallah. And on the other hand, look at the words coming out. This is why I say one of the miracles of the Quran, when you have it truly in your heart, it doesn't mix with other things that are immoral and things that are in transgression of Allah. If you find yourself inclining towards that which is terrible, it's because in your heart you haven't filled it with the word of Allah. Your connection to the word of Allah is not that much. You can do better, and so can I. May Allah strengthen all of us. Ameen. Let's listen to this, my brothers and sisters. I was telling you, when I was young, my mother told me that, you know what? You serve the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely bless you, strengthen you. I remember people used to come to me and say, you're learning the Quran, you're becoming a hafiz. What do you want to become after that? And I used to say, I want to become an ophthalmologist. Yeah, you better not become an imam. You know that? Because you know how much they earn? Nothing. Nothing. What does an imam earn? Can someone tell me here in pounds? The imam of the masjid, what does he earn? How much? How much?
You don't even know.
That's how insignificant it is. You know that? You don't even know. If that imam had £200,000 a year, we would all know and we would all want to be imams. People would want to be imams. But we pay them nothing. And you know what? They work hard. When you born, they were there. When you died, they were there. Throughout your life, you harmed them. That's it. You harmed them. You talk bad about them. And so on. When I say you, I'm talking of generally. Not necessarily those sitting in front of me. Right? But that needs to change. And I was convinced at the time that, yeah, if you become an imam, perhaps, you know, you might struggle in your life. Subhanallah. And so I decided I want to become an ophthalmologist. Everything was in order, but Allah intended something else. One thing I had was working very hard with the Quran. The Quran. You read it, Allah will open the doors. There was an elderly man one day when I was 14 years old. I led Salat al-Tarawih at a masjid in Harare. And one old man took me to the back where he was sitting for i'tikaf. And he gave me a dollar. That time a dollar was like, you know, more than a pound, I think, perhaps. More than the value of the pound today, at least. What you can buy with a pound today and what we could buy with a dollar at the time, oh, don't even compare. And he says, son, work hard on the Quran. You know, it's like a knife. That was his example. And I'm thinking, Quran like a knife. Wow. But then he says, the more you read it, the more you sharpen it. Once it's sharp, you can slice anything. It took me a while to understand what he was trying to say. I would have worded it differently, especially today. The minute you say the Quran's like a knife, guys will say, see, I told you, they're all terrorists. Allah forgive us. But that's not what he meant. What he meant was, you know what? If you read the Quran, it will open your doors. And it does. When you give importance to the book of Allah, I promise you, try out this. It's a miracle of the Quran. Commence every day with the recitation of the Quran, even if it is one verse, your life will change. If it doesn't, trust me, you can get back to me and tell me you were telling a lie. There is nobody that says, I commenced my day with the Quran every day. Please, don't just do it for 4 days and phone me, my life still hasn't changed. Subhanallah. The last time I did this, someone said this is a Freemason sign. My brothers and sisters, look, I tell you, when we were growing up, there were so many things that we said and did. We don't even know what's what. For me, it's a phone, telephone. Hello. That's what we used to say. So don't come and tell me this and that. I really don't know. You know, a few days ago, 2 days ago, I was actually talking, perhaps in a speech, and I put two fingers because they say if you put one, it's another problem, right? I don't even know. I really don't have a clue. I don't follow the signs and who makes them and who doesn't. They say this means the devil or whatever. To me, it's my fingers. Thank you. I'm just trying to make a sign. Soon they'll tell you this actually means something else. What are you going to do? Chop it off, you know? May Allah grant us ease. We don't know those signs. We don't follow them. So don't come and blame me and say, yeah, this guy belongs to a cult. What cult? May Allah forgive us. So I did these signs. Yesterday, I put that picture up on Instagram. You know why? I just wanted to interact with the brothers and sisters and see what they say. I said, caption this. Ooh, you need to go and see what they said. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. Allah grant us ease. Very interesting, very good. But what I was saying, subhanallah, was the fact that when we are connected to the Quran, we would actually achieve a lot. It's a miracle, the word of Allah. Allah describes it with four things. Four things, subhanallah. He says, مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. We've sent you a reminder from your Lord. وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Cure. In it, there is cure for what is in the heart. I promise you, your contentment, your physical sickness, your spiritual sickness, the cure of it is in the Quran. Listen to it. Replace the other melodies and tunes with the word of Allah. Find a reciter you like. Can I ask you a question if you're ready to answer loudly? Don't be shy, okay? Who is your favorite reciter? Call out some names. Let's hear them. Mishari. Who else? Ghamidi. Who else? Okay, who else? So many, do you know that? You hear so many names. We all have favorite reciters. We say, oh wow, what a lovely reciter. How beautiful is Idris Abkar. How lovely is Raad al-Kurdi. Oh, how amazing is Saad al-Ghamidi. People here, right? Some people like Sheikh Mahmud, Khalil al-Husari, some al-Manshawi and so on. You know what? This is a gift of Allah. It's a miracle of the Quran. Each tune, the same Quran, the same words, the same pronunciations, but just the tune of it would soothe the different temperaments of each human being. In the same house, You have father, mother, and so many others. Perhaps each one would have a different favorite reciter. Nothing wrong in having a favorite reciter. It's a miracle of the Quran. But sometimes we replace it with other tunes. Subhanallah. I had a brother who told me I was into heavy metal. You know what's heavy metal? What's heavy metal? Heavy metal. Initially, when I heard the word heavy metal, honestly, I didn't know what it meant. I was quite innocent. I thought he must be wearing armor, you know, 13th century armor. I must be heavy, you know, when he's walking, he's into heavy metal. What type of thing is this, man? Then he explained it was actually a type of music. He says, you know, I started listening to the recitation of the Quran of a sheikh called Abdul Wadud Hanif. And he says, I found it so amazing. I was calm and cool. And I was so relaxed. I started literally blasting it in my car. You know, blasting means, get the right word. I know we're Muslims. But it means the volume going right up, okay? Right up. And he says, I was so excited. And I'm so much so, I've had it happen to me with Ali Jabir, Ali Abdullah Jabir, a beautiful reciter. And someone says, hey, I like your music, man. It's not music, it's the Quran, subhanallah. But it's amazing, it soothes you. It's a gift of the Quran. Allah says, shifa'un lima fi sudur. In it there is cure. There are verses you read, they will protect you. Wallahi. Ayatul Kursi will protect you. That's a miracle of the Quran. They will grant you cure from so many things you see, you don't see. That's the Quran. Connect yourself with it. There are miracles you don't know. Wallahi, every morning and evening you must read these verses of protection. You'll never have a problem. No magician, nobody can cast a spell on you. No, nothing superstitious would happen to you. But morning and evening, every day, throughout the year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. You have a problem. There are verses of the Quran. You recite them. You check the meaning of them. You repeat them. Not necessarily a specific number of times. But they will help you. Indeed, it's the word of Allah. It has in it shifa'un lima fi sudur. And beyond that, wahuda. Allah says it has in it guidance. It will guide you. Wahudan. Warahma. It has in it mercy. Allah will have mercy on you. You feel the calmness. You understand the reality. These are some of the basic miracles of the Quran. Basic. I haven't even gone into the topic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us. We still have so many other miracles coming. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one after the other, every day shows us things. He shows us things. Surah Al-Fatiha, what a great miracle. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease and goodness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless every one of us. Inshallah, I will continue a little bit later. But for now, I take a short break. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.